Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the APM Human Services International Investor Update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Michael Anghie, Group CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Apologies for the delay. We've had some tech issues with the conference line. Maybe we'll jump straight in and I'll pass to Megan.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today at such short notice. We're really excited to share with you that we've entered into a binding agreement to acquire Equus, a market-leading employment services provider in North America. Together, Equus and APM will assist more than 1.2 million people across North America and over 2 million people globally each year, with the services we deliver making a positive and lasting social impact for our clients and their communities. My name is Megan Wynn, and I'm the founder and exec chair of APM. I'm joined on the call today by Michael Anghie, our Group CEO, Steve Fuster, our Group CFO, Jack Sawyer, APM's international CEO, and Matt Cooper, our GM of Investor Relations. While most of you will know Mike, Steve, Matt, and me, Jack may be new to you. Jack has tremendous experience in the sector and was the global CEO of Ingeus before joining APM as part of that acquisition. Today, as APM's international CEO, Jack focuses on all of our operations outside of the UK, Australia and New Zealand. Today, our team will take you through the Equus business, the transaction background and what this means for APM. We'll use the presentation lodged with the ASX as the framework for our discussion. But before we begin, I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we live and work. Globally, APM recognises the significance of Indigenous peoples' communities and the important role they play within our own workforce and the world, underpinning our efforts to build a culture that embraces diversity, equality and inclusion. If you'd please move to slide four, I'll hand over to Mike Anghie. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan, and thank you, everyone. Equus is an incredible business which has operated for more than 50 years and over this time has grown to be a market-leading employment services provider in the US, with 3,100 dedicated team members committed each day to changing the lives of the clients they support. They operate from 357 locations across 38 states in the US and also in one province in Canada. They partner with over 100 funders to deliver programs that positively and sustainably change the lives of the clients they support, and they support more than 1 million individuals each year. We've known the Equus business for a long time and have been able to build solid relationships with their team, and today we're pleased to welcome Equus into the APM family. The Equus leadership team will continue to run the business, and they, like APM's team, have had long-term careers in the sector and a lifelong commitment to what they do each day. I look forward to welcoming Mark Douglas, President Equus, and his team to APM. Together, the Equus team combined with our exceptional APM North American team, who have continued to deliver strong performance for many years, will form a formidable team in that marketplace. Equus deliver a range of services and programs that operate mainly under cost plus or cost reimbursement models similar to APM's existing US business. And I'll ask Jack to cover the key programs that they deliver.
Thanks, Mike. Morning, everyone. So first and foremost, Equus runs workforce development programs, or as we would say in Australia, employment services. And through these programs, Equus provides employment support, training and guidance. Well, they supported 850,000 individuals in the last year. The programs are contracted by over 550 workforce development boards across the USA, and they're paid for primarily by two federal streams of funding. The first of these is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, usually termed WIOA or WIOA. This is funding through the United States Department of Labor. And the second of these is the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families funding stream, referred to as TANF. And this is funded through United States Department of Health and Human Services. And combined, these funding streams annually have a value of around $6.2 billion. Just to explain a bit more, WIOA funding is aimed at programs for adults seeking to re-enter the labour market after a prolonged absence from it, dislocated workers who lost their jobs because of layoffs or redundancies or downsizing, and unemployed youth with barriers to employment who are between the ages of 16 and 24. Now, by design, business is considered the primary customer of the WIOA programs, as operators of these programs are preparing job seekers to meet the talent needs of local employers. WIOA adult and dislocated worker programs are sometimes contracted separately from the youth services, or sometimes they're contracted in one contract to the same provider. Participation in the programs is voluntary, and the types of support we provide is similar in many respects to the services we would provide under programs that you'd be familiar with, like Workforce Australia and other contracts globally. To touch a little more on the TANF funding, this is also used for programs aimed at helping recipients to prepare for, find and retain employment. TANF programs are in many respects similar to the WIOA programs I've just described, in that the ultimate goal of the TANF programs is to prepare and assist individuals who at the time are collecting benefit and assistance during a challenging time in their lives to obtain employment that will pay self-sufficient wages. The TANF is a successor program, and it was established in 1996. It's a successor program to what was previously known as welfare in the United States. So as part of the program, monthly cash payments are offered to eligible families living in poverty. And alongside that, there is a work requirement, which means receipt of support is contingent on participation in the programs. Moving on from those two funding streams, just want to talk briefly about WECARE. And that stands for Wellness Comprehensive Assessment, Rehabilitation and Employment. And this is a disability-specific program that operates in New York City. It provides a continuum of integrated services that evaluates the abilities and addresses the needs and determines the functional capacity of people with medical or mental health barriers that may affect their employability. The program uses functional capacity assessment to determine a person's level of disability and ability towards achieving the goals of the program. And these goals are either obtaining federal disability benefits, obtaining and retaining employment, or obtaining the necessary medical and or mental health services for clients with unstable and or untreated clinical conditions that affect their employability so as to assist them in becoming employed. Now, additional to what ECWAS defines as workforce development are two other service lines. Job Corps services are funded by the United States Department of Labor, and they're the largest national residential career training program in the US, assisting at-risk youth between the ages of 16 and 24. Running the centers includes outreach and admissions, center operations, and the delivery of high school level curricula, vocational training, career preparation, and transition services. The objective of the program is to prepare students for graduation from the Job Corps program with a high school diploma or general educational equivalent termed GED, or life skills and industry recognized credentials, and also with a placement behind them into employment paying a sustainable wage. The funding for Job Corps is around $1.8 billion per annum. Equitable Social Solutions, or ESS, is the ECWAS brand that operates homelessness and housing linked services and is uniquely positioned to provide housing solutions and wraparound services to the homeless and others at risk of housing displacement. This is a new service line for ECWAS, and ECWAS has the unique ability to link those at risk of homelessness with employment support across the US, and also the highly transferable skills in case management support and outcome orientation learned through workforce development to support those individuals. Current programs are funded at the local level using funding that comes from the Federal Department of Housing and and Urban Development, turned often as HUD or HUD. This is something we'll talk about a little bit later in the presentation. And Equus has now been successful at entering into these services in a number of contracts, which is, you know, exciting progress for the company. Michael, I might just pass back to you at that point.
Thanks, Jack. If you think about the programs that Jack has described in the world we're in, they certainly play a critical part of the social infrastructure in the US. As you can see on this slide, Equus has delivered strong financial performance with 11% revenue CAGR from CY 2020 to FY 22, underpinned by state and federal contracts with bipartisan support, as Jack has described. We're very fortunate to have a business of the quality of Equus, which has taken over 50 years to build, join APM. So move to the next slide, please, slide 5. At APM, we're focused on building a long-term sustainable business through all cycles, achieving growth in our core markets and using the platforms we have to expand existing operations and to enter adjacent programs. Consistent with our growth strategy, we've said we'll complement organic growth with strategic acquisitions to add scale to existing businesses or enter new markets. Equus is certainly a strategic acquisition that meets our goals by building on our core capability in employment services and expanding our influence in the US and takes us to market leadership in the large US market with opportunity to grow our depth and breadth of services. Equus has delivered long-term sustainable revenue and growth through all cycles and governments as demonstrated by the last 50 years of operation, delivering value and earnings accretion and expanding the depth and breadth of our service offering in existing markets and providing opportunities for future growth. Being able to engage exclusively on the transactions with the Equus owners, Brightspring, has enabled us to build deeper relationships, invest in understanding the business and involving our key executives in the process, both globally, but more importantly in the US who understand the programs. We've been able to develop plans for future operations and growth strategies and importantly work on integration planning. The acquisition provides a pathway to market leadership and broader growth opportunities, making APM a leader in the US employment services market and increasing our exposure from 24 states to 42 states and territories and strengthening our position in the Canadian marketplace. North America is an attractive market for APM with stable and increasing funding for programs and clear opportunities for future growth in servicing the programs and new adjacent areas of the market. And Jack will talk about these more later on in the presentation. And finally, the acquisition of Equus brings exceptional talent into APM. Through this acquisition, we'll inherit a great leadership team and 3,100 committed and dedicated team members. If I move to slide 6, please. From a transaction perspective, as I mentioned, we've been able to invest time and resources into the acquisition of Equus on an exclusive basis. The transaction expands our presence into 42 US states and extends our leadership position in Canada. The purchase price is $225.7 million Australian dollars with FY22 underlying revenue of $428 million Australian dollars and underlying statutory EBITDA of $46.6 million Australian. On an underlying basis, pre-debt funding NPATA is $19 million Australian dollars. And on a pre-funding basis, these margins are largely consistent with APM's North American business, noting that APM has more weighting to Canada. Funding for the acquisition will be from existing cash and committed debt facilities, and post-transaction will have approximately $177 million available funding. Completion is subject to customary regulatory approvals, which is expected to occur no later than the end of December 2022. If I move to the next page, please. As covered in our year-end update, there are a number of global trends that are continuing to support the growth of the health and human services sector globally, where we operate. And the people we support are facing more challenges than ever before. Equus has been in operation for over 50 years and is a natural fit for APM, having operated sustainably through economic cycles and changing governments, both Republican and Democratic, since 1968. To build a scale business in North America the same size as Equus is today organically would take many years, if at all possible. And we believe that combining Equus and APM, we have an incredible platform across North America to continue to grow. The acquisition of Equus will accelerate APM's growth strategy in the region, enabling us to further strengthen up in states, territories and provinces where we have an existing presence, and to pursue new states and territories in the US in both workforce development, career centres, Job Corp and new areas such as equitable social solutions, and build our combined existing North American business and provide a strong platform for growth and ability to invest in new opportunities on the back of our great leadership team. If I move to slide 8 and pass to Jack.
Thanks, Mike. So Mike's already touched on this, but just to summarise, so APM currently delivers services across 24 states and territories in the US, as well as 3 provinces in Canada. Now that will soon be 10 after the rollout of our Veterans Rehabilitation Program, which commences in January 23, that we sometimes refer to as RSVAP. So Equus, on the other hand, delivers services across 38 US states and territories, as well as one also in Canada. So post the acquisition, APM will be serving 18 new states and territories, and that will bring the total group coverage to 42 US states and territories, as well as the soon-to-be 10 provinces in Canada, but 3 at the moment. So, I mean, in summary, given how locally at state level and sub-state level funding is spent in our US markets, this increased footprint is an important part of a platform for growth. I think, Steve, I'll probably pass to you now and we'll turn to slide 9.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Yeah, so on to slide 9. Having delivered, in Australian dollar terms, $428 million in revenue in FY22, Equus provides substantial scale to our North American business. And on a consolidated basis, if Equus had been part of APM in FY22, we would have delivered $1.8 billion of revenue. The North American contribution would then increase to 37% of the APM group revenue compared to the current 16% before Equus. And we could make it the equivalent of the Australian revenue. The change in revenue mix and earnings provides a stable earnings base in the North American market given the nature of these contracts, with Equus's underlying EBITDA of $46.6 million in FY22 and an NPATA of $11 million including financing costs. Excluding those financing costs, the NPATA for the market would be for Equus would be $19 million based on a full-year ownership under APM and before integration and deal costs. The purchase price, as Mike said, will be funded from our existing committed debt and cash headroom. And on a post-acquisition basis, we'll have pro forma net leverage of around 2.3 times, including our lease commitments, which is comfortably within APM's covenant at the completion of the transaction. Thanks, and I'll pass you back to Mike now.
So I think we're on to slide 10 now. It's Jack, I think I'll just talk a little bit to this slide. So as Mike inferred or referred to earlier, you know, across the globe at the moment, we're facing arguably some of the most challenging social and economic outlooks, certainly for the past 50 years. And there are many facing economic exclusion, hardship, and potentially harm who require our services more than they have before. You know, we're committed to rising to that challenge in terms of the mission of our company. And governments also, as well as citizens, are requiring increased workforce participation to ensure that taxation in the future meets the spending requirements required to support populations. So the business in the US is certainly expected to experience continued growth. And this will be facilitated by stable to increasing funding for the funding streams that we referenced through the presentation, TANF, WIOA, Job Corps, and increased federal funding for homelessness and housing-related services. So I'll just kind of recap that slightly, you know, estimated annual fundings under these streams. You know, TANF is around $3 billion US, We are at the same, around the same level. Job Corps, I referenced earlier, is $1.8 billion US. And then there's significant federal funding for housing. The Department of Housing and Urban Development's Continuum of Care funding stream is in the order of $2.8 billion annually, and emergency solution grants also up to $4 billion annually. So those fundings are significant to support the types of program that Equus is operating. The WIRA funding is expected to increase from current funding levels. And I should note as well, actually, because I think I missed this, that the Job Corps program is funded by WIRA funds also. And while it is expected that for the proposed much higher level of funding currently working through the legislative process to be moderated, there's no expectation, certainly, that it will reduce from current levels. It's our view that the stability of funding for workforce development programs in the US is underpinned by economic fundamentals with stable and bipartisan political support. To give some further context and an example, following a recent White House summit, which was attended by Vice President Kamala Harris, a $40 billion rescue package was committed to strengthen and expand the US workforce. The exact funding allocated, of course, will be refined over time as funding packages are allocated to programs at state and federal level. But the summit, to give you a feel, focused on three key areas that will drive funding into the workforce sector. The first was building a diverse and skilled infrastructure workforce. The second was strengthening care and public health workforces. And the thirdly, and I think most specifically relevant for Equus and APM, was expanding access to the workforce for underserved populations. These populations are referenced as those who are homeless, with disability, impacted by the justice system, and youth. And as you can see, these align closely with the groups that we support in the US, but not only the US, that our programs support across the globe. So I'll mention a couple more examples of some future programs to which this funding relates later in the presentation, but Mike, I'll hand back over to you now as we turn to slide 11.
Thanks, Jack. As you can see, Equus transformed to scale of APM in North America, providing new business lines and opportunities for further expansion. It complements our existing business and provides the ability to continue to invest in new business areas complementary to our core. If we go further, and I'm going to ask Jack to speak a little bit about the future opportunities in this marketplace, and on this slide on page 11, you'll see the programs that APM execute in North America and what Equus execute, and Jack will talk about some of the future strategies for us in that marketplace.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So look, there's an opportunity to grow within Equus's existing service lines, first off. So there are 131 Job Corps centres nationally, at least one in every state, and 108 of these are contracted out to providers to run. Equus runs three of those centres at the moment, and we can certainly see a future where Equus runs more of those, so we're excited about that opportunity in Job Corps. Equitable Social Solutions, which we've talked about, aimed at housing and homelessness programs, is also a great opportunity. And federal funding for homelessness and housing link programs proposed in the budget for 23 is 10% more than 22. And as mentioned already, Equus's national workforce development footprint and experience does provide a point of difference in that market, which we think is exciting. The New York City WeCare program is also something that we really like. This program is innovative within the US market, and we think may be replicable in other states, particularly when learnings are combined with our experience from the Disability Employment Services and our work with the National Disability Insurance Scheme, both of which are in Australia. Now, beyond current service lines and currently accessed funding streams, there are further opportunities. And for example, just to take you back to the White House summit paper that I referenced earlier, with reference to expanding access to the workforce for underserved populations, there are a range of future programs and opportunities. Many programs are commissioned at the state and sub-state level. And that is why, as an aside, that our increased footprint through Equus is important. Look, I won't list all the opportunities, as there are many, but to give you some examples and a feel of future programs and their funding and how they link to the current capabilities that APM and Equus has, you know, Wisconsin is planning to spend around $125 million on a comprehensive work and development program, including for people who have been in prison or incarcerated individuals, as they term it. Detroit, Michigan is looking at establishing the Skills for Life program with around $75 million of funding. Kings County in Washington is looking to connect individuals experiencing homelessness with jobs and housing support in a program suggested to benefit from around $30 million funding. And in Baltimore, they're looking to expand workforce efforts, including creating critical transformational jobs program and a reentry program with an estimated $30 million of funding. And that's just to give you some flavor for those things. And also, as we note in the presentation, I should add, we do consider APM's existing adjacent health-related services and those program deliveries as future growth opportunities in the US also. Mike, I think I'm coming back to you now to conclude for us.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. I mean, as you can hear from what Jack's saying, yeah, there's a lot of connection, not only with what we do in the US and North American marketplace, but also what we do globally in terms of justice systems, youth, and the like. So we feel that there's great opportunity for us to connect globally, to share best practices, to collaborate with our stakeholders. And that's certainly what we're hearing from our stakeholders and funders during due diligence, where we were able to have a discussion with many of them during the due diligence process. Yeah, in terms of the deal going forward, and before I close, you know, this acquisition, obviously, we've got four brands and four businesses operating in the US marketplace. This adds considerable scale in that marketplace. And we will look to bring together the corporate support services of those businesses to ultimately enable our people to deliver, you know, better quality services across the marketplace going forward. In terms of the contracts themselves, you know, as Jack covered and we covered earlier, yeah, they generally, you know, either cost plus or cost reimbursement, and within those contracts, there's sufficient room to cover inflationary pressures that are coming through at the moment. So we feel that we're covered from a wage and cost inflation perspective. From a deal perspective, as I mentioned, you know, dealing exclusively is something that especially for a transaction this size is something that is quite critical to us. We were able to invest in the people, the programs, the due diligence, engage our US team in the due diligence, and really invest in the day two plans of how we operate and integrate this business and work together to target the opportunities that there are in the marketplace. So for us, you know, we feel it's a very accretive acquisition and ultimately, from a transaction perspective, we had plenty of headroom in our funding facilities, so hence the cash nature of the transaction. And the fact is, it's non-core to the BrightSpring business, and it was an opportunity for us to buy the business and bring it into a, you know, back home into a business that is long and focused in the sector. And that's certainly the feedback we've had from the Equus management team and the Equus team more broadly across North America following the announcement of this to them this morning, US time. And, you know, we've heard that they're really positive about the joining APM and coming into a business that actually knows what they do really well. So if we move to slide 12, and it gives you a bit of a feel of what the global footprint looks like with APM at the moment post this transaction. Obviously, we've got to finish up some of the CPs and the standard CPs over the next few weeks. But the acquisition certainly increases our impact in North America and globally, and together we'll have more than 14,000 team members supporting more than 2 million people each year, delivering on our purpose to enable better lives. Our vision is to achieve market leadership globally, and you've heard us say this before, but what does that mean to us? It means having great people, supporting best-in-class outcomes for the clients that we serve, delivering exceptional contract performance, and having collaborative and trusted relationships with our stakeholders and supporting more people each year globally to make a positive and sustainable difference in the communities in which we operate. And if we do all of these things, then financial performance will follow. Equus certainly adds to our business and is a business that's delivered long-term sustainable revenue and growth through all cycles and governments. Its earnings are accretive and expands the depth and breadth of our service offering in North America and provides opportunities for future growth, as Jack's covered. It makes APM the market leader in a very large and fragmented US employment services market to complement our leadership position in Canada and our other key markets globally, and brings exceptional talent into APM, and will inherit a great leadership team and 3,100 committed team members. And in closing, finally, I'd like to thank you for all your support and thank the APM, BrightSpring and Equus teams that have worked tirelessly 24/7 across time zones to allow us to announce this transaction today. I'd also like to thank our team globally for everything they do each day and their continued dedication, commitment and passion for our clients and the purpose of enabling better lives. So on that note, I think I'll stop and maybe I'll pass to Matt, and Matt, you work out Q&A if there are any questions. Thank you.
Hi, operator, Matt Cooper here. If we can please move to Q&A, and if you could please remind the group how to ask a question and to use the functionality, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Gretel Janu with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, all. Congrats on the acquisition. So firstly, just want to understand a little bit more in terms of how this acquisition came about. So did you approach BrightSpring or was BrightSpring active sellers and approached you?
Yeah, hi, Gretel. Thank you. So look, we've, as you've heard us say before, you know, this sector is large and fragmented, but the players know each other, they collaborate, so we've known them for a long time. So we've approached BrightSpring, I guess, well, the first time we talked to them was back in 2020. We did have a look at that stage, but as you may have heard us say, well, it's very hard to do a large people acquisition when you can't meet the people, and you know, going into those COVID times, yeah, we just didn't quite get there, and it was great post, you know, once we could get on planes again and meet face to face and invest the time and effort to re-engage and I guess complete the transaction. It wasn't a sale process; it was an exclusive process with us, and yeah, we're really pleased that the owners of the business are really keen for the business to come into the right hands and the right family, and yeah, we certainly feel we're the right place for a business like Equus.
Thanks. And then just in terms of retaining talent, are you offering any incentives or anything to the management team or other members of the Equus team to retain them?
So for them, there's a small transaction bonus, retention bonus that's being paid by the BrightSpring team that we're contributing to. I mean, when I say small, it's $1.2 million over time, so it's small. But other than that, you know, they'll come into our structure, and there's no other than normal incentives offered to our people there. They'll be part of those programs that we have for our people going forward. Obviously they're in the Equus or the BrightSpring Management Equity Plan, and we've been able to negotiate that they won't lose the benefits of that.
Okay, excellent. And then in terms of cost synergies, you haven't outlined any in the Prezo pack. Are there any cost synergies we should expect?
I guess for us, we feel, this is a market that we've actually got the opportunity to invest into our funding envelope. So we'll see investment. Of course, as I mentioned before, we'll see some investment and some sharing of non-recoverable costs across the corporate functions, which will hopefully drive outcomes and performance and drive new opportunities. But there's not a cost out.
acquisition, but we think within the current funding envelopes there is room to invest and grow and also improve profitability over time.
Great. And then just one final question before I jump back in the queue. Just in terms of the historical revenue growth, you talked about the 11% revenue CAGR. Just trying to understand what drove that. Was that increasing the footprint or increased funding, increased participants? What was the key drivers there?
So you would have heard us say before that, you know, in the US marketplace, there's the and Jack explained it earlier, you know, the funding devolves to local workforce boards and local municipalities and states, and they then let programs. So we are constantly bidding, and Equus are constantly bidding. They've had a fantastic retention and win rate on contracts, and it's all organic win rates off sustainable programs and contracts. Any one-off contracts, which there was only one, have been backed out of any of the numbers that we're presenting to you. That they weren't a COVID relief business like others in the sector. So they're all organic growth opportunities that have delivered the growth.
Great, that's all I had. Thanks.
Thanks, Gretel.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Preston Hammersley with Indian Pacific Funds. Please go ahead.
G'day, team. Just a couple of quick ones. We've spoken before, I think, you know, just about the lower margin nature of the North American market. Can you just sort of remind us as to why that is? Is that a cost plus, more of a cost plus style model?
Hi, Preston. So cost reimbursement or cost recovery or cost plus are the largest types of contracts in the US marketplace. Canada is slightly different in terms of in British Columbia performance based contracts and then varies because our business is quite diverse in Canada. So they're the contracts that we predominantly operate in the US marketplace. And that drives, I guess, a lower margin when you look at some of our other businesses globally. But you know, it also has a lower risk profile, and for us in that marketplace, and also you know, inherent growth in programs as markets grow, participants are growing, and the need for the services are increasing, as we all understand in the US marketplace.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. So the margins where they are now, you know, that's about, you know, where they should be sort of thing.
Yeah, I think from a margin perspective, and remembering we look at this from a pre-funding perspective, because otherwise we're not comparing like for like across the APM business, but yeah, you're sort of saying NPATA margins of around 5% over time. I know it's slightly lower at the moment in Equus, and about just over 10% in terms of your EBITDA margins.
Okay, that's great. And just very quickly, what is the cash rent? And I assume are we talking 21% we should expect on tax? 22.
So you broke up a little bit.
Hi, Preston.
Cash rent. Yeah, cash rent.
Right. Hi, Preston. Matt Cooper here. The post EBITDA IFRS 16 number is 46.6. On a pre IFRS 16, yeah, there's circa 21.5 million Aussie rent to get that back to a cash EBITDA.
That's great. Okay, thanks. And should we assume 21% tax?
27%. So in the prospectus for the US, we add 26%. Given the mix of states and territories that we now operate in across the new Equus and APM combined group, it's closer to 27%.
Oh, that's for the whole group, though, is it?
That's for the US.
Oh, that's just for the US. Okay, great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Tim Plum with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just two questions from me, if that's all right. The first one around contract composition. As Preston mentioned, predominantly cost plus, but thinking about the labour market over in the US at the moment, labour scarcity, labour inflation, how does the contract structure over there take this into account? And is that kind of cost plus that's set at the beginning of a contract and then can it be adjusted throughout the course of the contract, or are you kind of set for how for that contract period?
Yeah, thanks Tim. So from our perspective, what we see in these contracts is either one or two things. One is there's from the cost plus perspective, there's the opportunity to continue to pass on the costs of execution plus the benefits and the like, because the US market obviously has a more complex benefit structure than other markets globally, or within the funding envelope. Because if you think about a cost reimbursement contract, you have a funding envelope that you have to meet, or you can meet, and there's headroom in those funding envelopes. So we see in these contracts, and that was part of our due diligence, do we have sufficient headroom in these contracts to bear the increases that will flow through over the coming periods, and we feel that we're covered in either those types of contract structures going forward. But maybe Matt or Steve would want to add to that.
Just building on what Mike said, that's the due diligence certainly showed there's sufficient headroom. And the other piece that we can do is we can manage our costs through to ensure we achieve that envelope. So there's many levers we've got to be able to manage the impact of inflation.
And the final point I'll make, and this is consistent across the group, not just in the US, but the funders that we deal with are focused on success for these programs. So where we do have instances of wage inflation or cost inflation that could potentially put quality at risk if it's not managed properly, there's absolutely a collaboration between ourselves and the funders to make sure that we can manage the contracts appropriately to deliver the service. So what the guys have just described is absolutely relevant in the US context, but in the past when we've spoken on value for money, that's absolutely relevant in this US context as well.
Got it. And sorry, just a bit of a follow-up from the contract composition. Can you remind us how long is the typical contract duration, and are there any major kind of potential program reshuffles, something similar to what we saw in terms of Job Active shifting across to Workforce Australia within the US marketplace?
Thanks, Tim. So the contract durations, and Jack, I'll throw to you, but they range from, multi-year, as in, 2-year type contracts with ability to roll to longer term five-year plus contracts. But there is generally a shorter cycle. However, in terms of fundamental structural change in programs, like you referred to in terms of Job Active to Workforce Australia, our due diligence and our sector due diligence certainly doesn't highlight anything other than opportunity on the horizon for the sector and the business we're in. But Jack, do you want to maybe, given that there's so many programs in this business and 100 different funders, or more than 100 funders, maybe you could add to that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, so there are some differences over the book as large and diverse as this, but I think a good guide would be, generally speaking, the most normal contract sort of duration would be a contract that's let with a maximum of 4 years that's renewed annually. So So when I say renewed, that's not re-tendered. That's, you know, further committed to. So if performance is good on the contracts we delivered well, the likely scenario is that it runs for 4 years. If in a situation where it wasn't or something changed, it could be re-tendered at an earlier point. So I think a bit of a guide would be sort of 4 years as a normal duration. I think that's how you could think about it. And regards any kind of reshuffle, just to emphasize Mike's point, no, there's nothing of that sort planned and we don't expect to see that.
Got it. That helps. Then just the second question around deal structure. Just maybe if you could walk through thinking around using all cash for a sizable acquisition, thinking around earnouts or lack of, and then how do we think about the acquisition pipeline from here? Do you guys need to pause in order to integrate this business, or could the Australian management team still kind of manage some smaller acquisitions in Australia throughout the course of FY23?
Thanks, Tim. I mean, from a deal perspective, of course, you know, we're in a situation where we're able to engage with BrightSpring on an exclusive basis. I mean, they want to reallocate, no doubt, to their core business. We want to focus on our core business. So the opportunity for anything other than a cash transaction wasn't there. And, you know, as we've seen, we feel that the acquisition in terms of financial terms will certainly be accretive and was good value for us going forward. In terms of looking further beyond the Equus transaction, I mean, for us, we do have significant headroom still in our facilities. We feel that there's still considerable, you know, as we outlined it at the full year results. Yeah, there's a number of areas where we think we can add, either add scale or take us into adjacent areas that have attractive opportunities for APM as we build out our footprint going forward. So you'll continue to see activity from us. Yeah, we've invested ahead of the curve in terms of our talent. We have great leaders in our leadership team, and a number of them are on today. And thanks, Jack, for joining. So we think that we'll continue to see opportunities in the short term in terms of M&A, and we'll assess those where we feel they fit the business, they fit our culture and values, and we can invest in the appropriate due diligence and planning going forward. So no doubt our European business is feeling left behind in terms of the map on slide 12. So let's see if we can fix that in the time to come through organic growth and maybe some strategic M&A.
Great. Thanks, that's helpful.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Peet with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Just a question about the platform for growth this provides in the context of that 11% CAGR that Equus has delivered over the last few years. Do you think you can sort of match or at least match that sort of growth with the platform you have now? And I'm just thinking also, can you give us a bit more colour on maybe what they do that you don't, maybe what they can do in terms of getting into programs that you're not in certain states?
Thanks, Michael. And once again, I'll throw to Jack to talk about some of the other opportunities which he covered earlier, but also how we see working together, because Jack's had a number of the calls with the funders recently as well. But for us, yeah, we think, I mean, as we said, you know, we've set ourselves some growth targets going forward, and we feel that sort of organic target that Equus has been delivering is in line with our expectations of our businesses. So based on the business that we're acquiring and the opportunities ahead of it, and their success rates historically, together with what we've done in our businesses, we feel that revenue, which will then flow to profitability growth is sustainable going forward. In terms of the other opportunities and what does this bring for us, I might just pass to Jack, because yeah, we certainly feel that together we'll be much stronger in the marketplace.
We have significant ability to leverage our global skills and our knowledge of different markets and programs. And, you know, one of the benefits, I think, of being a company like APM is you can bring to local markets your experience in global markets. And that's what the funders really want, is like, how do you execute and introduce programs that really sustainably make a difference in their communities? And that's what's been part of the discussions that we've been having with them through this diligence process. But Jack, I'll pass to you.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Mike. So I guess I'll to a degree reiterate some of the stuff that Mike said there, but I think the first thing is footprint and entrance into, you know, 18 additional states and territories is important, because as we talk through the funding, while we mentioned federal funding streams, what you hear is that the service delivery and the programs are commissioned and operated in our sector predominantly at a state, or actually in reality a sub-state level. So, and what's really important therefore about being able to deliver these services is actually a footprint and infrastructure, a leadership team, and an understanding of local labour markets, local economies, and the services that people in those environments are experiencing, and how that all joins up and works in a local context. And the, you know, the US is not a monoculture. It's not the same in every state. And it's really important to understand that about the US market. So I think, you know, extending into those new states is really, really important, because this is actually more about 50 markets than it is about a single market. The second thing I'd say is, I think we do think that, you know, homelessness is an increasing issue. When I've been in the United States recently, people are talking about it. It's visible and it's important. And that's come out of the COVID experience, but it's also the cause of that's coming from newcomers. And there are many newcomers in the US at the moment who are coming across borders, and that group is experiencing significant homelessness as well. So we're definitely seeing signs, and in conversations, that there is a more focus on this area. And this is something that we haven't done in the past and that we don't do. But, you know, to credit to Equus, they have taken their transferable skills from other programs and won multiple contracts now delivering wraparound support and temporary housing services to homeless populations, which is very impactful, very important, but also an interesting area for us to collaborate with them on in future. The third thing I'd highlight is the opportunity around disability, which I touched on earlier, because disability funding is spent differentially across the state. So we don't have, like in Australia, the kind of national singular disability employment services program or even the National Disability Insurance Scheme. But there is funding that is spent across the US in large scale to support people with disability. And actually, not so much what they have that we don't have, but the combination of our experiences here is what's exciting, because APM is the leading provider of services for people with disability in Australia. And Australia is very, very innovative and is at the head of the global curve on this. And also the WeCare program in New York, which Equus delivers, is innovative and is ahead of the game in terms of thinking differently about providing services to people with disability. So we think bringing those two things together is an exciting opportunity to have conversations across states and to deliver more services to that population. So hopefully that brings a bit of flavour for you.
That's great. Thanks for the colour. Maybe just a couple more for Steve, if I may. Could you just tell us a bit about how the working capital cycle works in this business? And then also on the integration, what are the sort of contingencies you've put in place for integrating these businesses into US, this business into your US operations? How complex is that? And maybe looking forward, would there be any cost synergies on admin, IT systems that you might be able to extract over time?
Thanks for the question. I'll pick up the integration piece first. So in terms of the integration, we're expecting the cost of that to be around US $11 million, and that will be largely spent in the first year and then rolling into the second year. A large part of that, or the most of that, is standing up the IT systems as we transition off the Brightspring systems onto our own systems. So there's a piece there, and we've got a well considered plan to be able to execute that, and we'll have some of our people on the ground very soon setting up that transition process. In terms of what does that mean more broadly, I think Mike touched on it before, and Jack, we'll have a effectively a shared services group that will be able to provide better back office support to enable the teams on the ground to deliver better services. So we think what we'll see is better revenue opportunities that come off the back of that as opposed to a cost out program. So we think there's good opportunity there. In terms of working capital cycle, pretty similar to our other US businesses. It tends to be, there tends to be a little bit of seasonality in the way the working capital moves with us in a financial year sense as opposed to a calendar year sense. We tend to see a build up in the second half, but by the time you come through to June, that starts to flush away as the acquittals are completed. So we don't expect to see lumpy build up of working capital, say like we've seen in Restart or new contract setups. We expect it to be a small build up, and that's factored as part of the acquisition.
Excellent, thank you. I'll hand over to the next.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one. We'll now pause a moment to allow for any final questioners to register. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Angie for closing remarks.
Thanks everyone for joining us. Look, we're really excited about the Equus acquisition and the opportunity to expand in North America and what that brings for us, both in terms of our core business and the opportunities in that marketplace. We have really been able to get our hands around this business through the due diligence process, and they're fantastic people, and you know it's been really good to spend time on the ground in the US with the team, which obviously our due diligence team and deal team have been doing, and Jack and Kate and James and the like, but also Steve and Megan and myself were able to spend a number of days there recently with both our North American team and the Equus leadership team, which really, I guess, for us sealed that this opportunity was the right one for us. Look forward to the journey ahead in that marketplace, and thank you for your support, and apologies for the issues at the start with this call. But if you have any other questions, I'm sure you'll be able to touch base with any of us over the coming days. But thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.